college basketball season heading towards the finish line, and the basketball tournaments certainly beginning with the CIAA this week down in Charlotte. HBCU basketball season slowly but surely drawing to an end. But that's an element of sports which hasn't been chronicled as well as we've seen with our African-American pastime, that being black college football. But it's changing thanks to websites and blogs such as Black Five. And the webmaster or virtual curator for the Black Five's blog joins us right now, Claude Johnson. Welcome to the Sports Groove Radio program. And I was amazed when stumbling across the Black Five's blog and the history that you're pretty much dropping on people 24/7, 365 in cyberspace. Can you share your vision for the Black Five's concept with the audience?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, thanks for having me on, Mark. I appreciate it, and to your listeners for listening. Yeah, Black Five is really all about the history of African Americans in basketball prior to the NBA, prior to the racial integration of the NBA. And when I discovered that history and these dozens of teams, I was intrigued and I started to do more research, and I found out not only that these teams existed and had their own parallel world and universe of black basketball starting back to the early 1900s, but also there were lessons that these pioneers and stories and experiences that they endured, which we could learn from today. So I tell the stories, but I also use the blog as a platform to discuss things that are meaningful today for ordinary people like you and me who are trying to move forward in the world as well.
Now, as one who has worked in the NBA and is now understanding the impact that African Americans have had on basketball, how have you seen the evolution of the game based upon the impact of African American ball players throughout history?
Well, that's exactly what we focus on, because if you go back far enough, then one begins to realize that there were really three stages of black basketball which paralleled the evolution and progress of black culture. So the first aspect is that way back at the beginning, basketball, because it came out of the YMCA, it was really considered to be in some ways connected with Christianity. So it was almost considered a sin, if you will, to play basketball for pay. So professionalism was really frowned upon, and that's because we were coming out of the Victorian era and Edwardian era, and people like Booker T. Washington were saying, look, let's try our best to copy what these folks are doing, because that's the best way towards equality. Let's copy them and try to emulate and be considered as equals by doing the same thing that they do. And that was, of course, wrong. In other words, he miscalculated. And that's right around 1910 when people started saying, wait a second, there's maybe a middle ground here. And black culture changed overnight when the phonograph and the radio became widely available to the mass public. But also when that happened, black music became popular. So ragtime and jazz and blues became popular on a wide basis, and it created opportunities for ballrooms and for fans to come together. And when these empty ballroom managers got together with the black basketball promoters, they put one and one together and said, wait a second, let's play ball here, because we didn't have a place to play before, because most facilities were segregated. So the convergence of music and basketball, black basketball in particular, was a marriage of necessity. And what that did is it created opportunities for black basketball promoters to actually charge money, and then to begin realizing, wow, this game might be something that we can use as entertainment. And of course that has developed further and further along until finally the public was able, and I'm talking about the African-American public, was able to finally appreciate, okay, we could actually get into professionalism, and it's okay to do that. And that coincided with the emergence of the Harlem Renaissance period, which, as you know, that whole concept of emulating and trying to be like them really went away after World War I, when black soldiers went to fight for democracy but came back and many black soldiers were lynched in uniform. So that made a lot of folks say, okay, time out, we're going to do this our way. We have our culture, we have our own identity that we want to start to embrace. And through literature and art and culture, that's how the Harlem Renaissance sprung out of that period. And not coincidentally, that's when the Harlem Wrens, which was a team named after the Renaissance ballroom in Harlem, emerged and began to flourish for the next generation. And they dominated basketball, not just black basketball, but white basketball, really for the next 25 to 30 years.
We're talking with Claude Johnson, who has introduced the world to Black Fives Incorporated and the Black Fives blog, which chronicles the history of African-American basketball from its inception through today. It's a fascinating concept, and I would encourage you to check it out. You can even join the blog, Black Five Blogs, on blackfives.com. You touched on a number of different things. The synergy between music and basketball, where the game becomes entertainment, we see that now. You know, when basketball needed to, I guess, reach back and come back to become a part of American society, it became a hip-hop game. You know, it became associated with the hip-hop movement. Did you see any synergy on a more contemporary historical context, if you will, how, you know, you move from the Harlem Renaissance era, where it was like jazz and ragtime and synergy between basketball, to in a more modern era, it became hip-hop and basketball, and why there seems to be that synergy between music and this game more so than any of the others?
Well, in basketball, and there is a correlation, I think, that the sociological reason for basketball, especially, I mean, there's no such thing today, let's call it, as black basketball, but before integration, there was such a thing as black basketball. And what happened is that you had many migrants and people who were coming up from the South, from the rural South, coming up into northern industrial cities. And when they did that, they needed to have a way to assimilate into culture, even among their own African-American culture. So one way that happened was through basketball, because when the Smart Set Athletic Club of Brooklyn played a team from Washington, it might have been the first time that anybody from Brooklyn even met somebody who lived in another city, if they came in as fans or players. So this created opportunities for basketball with music to become a meaningful social event, right? Because you had the band that would play before and at halftime and after the game, and then you had the game itself, and after the game there was dancing till well past midnight. So it was a way for people from different communities, different neighborhoods, and also different states to get together, socialize. And remember, this was before Facebook and before telephones, practically, and definitely before the internet. So this might have been the first time that somebody had a chance to learn, well, what's going on over there in Chicago or in Pittsburgh or in D.C. or Baltimore or Brooklyn or Harlem, and to find out face-to-face. And the way that information was shared was through music, through the lyrics, through the moves and the dancing, different ways that people express themselves. So it became a social event. And if you fast forward, really that sensibility hasn't changed. I mean, if you've gone to the All-Star game, and I'm sure CIAA mm-hmm. the same way, I mean, is it the game or is it walking around?
Right.
What is it? Why do you go? You know what I'm saying? So people do that now, and then if you go just as a fast forward again to Barack Obama, in terms of how he's taken that to another level, our new president, he's using pickup basketball as a way to not only play ball but also to socialize and network. And his basketball network has become literally his his political network. And so we can learn from that and say, well, is this just a game, or can it be more than just a game?
Claude Johnson is our guest. He is the founder and president of Black Fives Incorporated. You should check out the Black Five blog on a computer terminal near you. And Claude, I'm going to beg your indulgence and get you to stick around for another segment, because we've only begun to scratch the surface. And you mentioned the CIAA tournament, which tipped off in Charlotte earlier. We got to talk about the HBCU impact on the game and where it might have been had it not been for basketball being played at America's historically black colleges. So stick with us. We'll have more from the Black Fives blog with Claude Johnson as the groove continues. Holla back.